From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump's administration has just announced an expansion of its 2017 travel ban, adding six new nations to the list of those restricted from arriving on U.S. shores. All six nations are from the Global South, and four are from Africa. People from Nigeria, Sudan, Tanzania, Eritrea, Kyrgyzstan, and Myanmar will now face severe restrictions in arriving to the U.S. Based on the fears of the spread of the new coronavirus, Trump has also temporarily restricted travelers from China. The president is expected to use his travel ban, affirmed by the Supreme Court, as a rallying point during his re-election campaign. Critics have slammed the president's move, saying it is yet another racist and xenophobic policy. My guest is Diego Iniguez Lopez, policy and campaigns manager with the organization National Partnership for New Americans. Welcome to the program, Diego.
Thank you.
So the Trump administration and President Trump himself had been sort of warning for a few weeks ahead of time that this expansion to the travel ban was going to be announced, but it wasn't yet known which nations were going to be announced. Were you surprised by the list of nations? And what can you tell us about the Trump administration's justification for why these nations?
Yes, so yeah, it wasn't too much of a surprise since there had been news reports and rumors that it was going to be majority African countries. And last week, they made the announcements, and there were several different news reports about which the countries would be. The justification is baseless and is an extension of the Muslim ban, which were immediately struck down by federal courts back then and needed a few different legal concealers in order to be affirmed by the Supreme Court 2 years ago. This is an extreme violation of religious freedom, and MPNA sees this as an affront, as a violation of this country's values of celebrating diversity and welcoming immigrants and refugees, regardless of their color, regardless of their race, and regardless of whether they happen to come from a Muslim majority country or from an African country.
Nigeria in particular was a surprising addition. This is the largest economy in Africa, and there are also a number of Nigerians who see this as an attack on their ability to simply reunite with family members. Some have wondered how Nigeria ended up on this list, and there are some reports suggesting that Trump just sort of on a whim settled upon this a few years ago as a country that he felt shouldn't send its citizens here to the U.S. This, I can imagine, is likely going to have some economic ramifications to the country as to the U.S. as well, right? I mean, it's one thing to just say you can't have travelers coming here. It's another thing to essentially trigger some kind of foreign policy issue as well, which Trump apparently doesn't seem worried about.
Right. And unfortunately, we have to say that it's more than a whim, right? This is not the first policy that the Trump administration has proposed and begun to implement.
Right. Nigeria is not Norway.
Right, exactly. It would separate families, and it would do that based on a white supremacist, the idea of who is welcome here and who is not welcome here. And the Trump administration, through statements that its officials have stated and through the policies that it's implemented over the last 3 years, beginning with the original Muslim ban, which is one of the administration's first policies to ever be announced, have targeted immigrants of color. It has targeted immigrants of lesser means. It's targeted countries unlike Norway, which the administration has always disparaged and has been the basis for a lot of the legal scrutiny that it's received and a lot of the different policies which the federal courts have blocked.
So, from what I understand, this travel ban is essentially a ban on immigrant visas. That is, those people who are seeking to use the legal process to immigrate to the United States, become, so-called resident aliens, to use the lingo of Homeland Security. And so, the US and the Trump administration in particular has for years slammed quote unquote illegal immigration, but it has continued then to restrict legal avenues for people to emigrate. But I understand that it will not impact what are called non-immigrant visas, such as student visas, and I'm assuming things like visitors visas for people just, want a vacation here in the US.
Yes, that's my understanding as well. And the Trump administration has systematically tried to dismantle the ability for immigrants and refugees to come to this country through the legal infrastructure that was there before it, before it came into power. So through limiting refugee admissions all the way from folks who are trying to come in to limiting access to citizenship for folks who have been here and who have had lawful status for years, if not decades. This unfortunately is not unprecedented in how the administration is targeting immigrants and refugees, regardless of immigration status.
Right, one wonders, so what happens to those people who have begun their processes? I imagine that children or adult children seeking to sponsor their parents who might be living in countries like Nigeria or Sudan or Kyrgyzstan and who are in the middle of applying, maybe they've submitted applications. What happens now to their applications?
Absolutely. It's unclear, and it really undermines a lot of the hope and the aspirations and the belief that folks can come to this country and seek a better life and reunite with their families. As you mentioned, it's not immediately clear what's going to happen to people who have already begun this process. And that very much so is part of the Trump administration's agenda to make it so complicated and so bureaucratic to come here on a visa, to get legal status, to get lawful permanent residency or citizenship, to such an extent have it so difficult that it ultimately deters people from applying altogether. The National Partnership for New Americans and a lot of our membership who focus on refugee issues and who are mobilizing refugee communities around this expansion of the Muslim ban have also been working on citizenship issues, where the administration has recently proposed a regulation that would increase fees across the board for lawful permanent residency, for citizenship, for deferred action for childhood arrivals, and even affirmative asylum, making the country, this country, it would make, if implemented, the United States only the fourth country to charge for an asylum
And we also know
after.
that the so-called public charge rule, which was recently allowed to go forward by the Supreme Court, even as legal challenges remain in place, would essentially, it's a wealth test, as some have said, for immigrants. So if you have money, you are more likely to be welcome into the United States.
Absolutely. And all of that has the purpose of sowing chaos and misinformation so that folks ultimately don't apply. Thankfully, there are organizations that are members of National Partnership for New Americans and other organizations that are working with immigrants and refugees every single day to give them Know Your Rights presentation, information, assistance with their applications, and in worst case scenario, removal defense, so that folks aren't intimidated and aren't afraid of what's coming down from the Trump administration, even though it's a lot. So they are complementing those direct legal services and information with advocacy on proactive solutions. So, for example, the No Ban Act is something that the Congress should pass immediately to prevent the original Muslim ban, and the two other reiterations of the Muslim ban, and now this extension of the Muslim ban. The No Ban Act would prevent the current and any future administration from implementing a ban like this. It would affirm the prohibition against religious discrimination, and then limit executive authority for any future administrations to do this. And there's also other proactive pieces of legislation which we drastically need, like the New Deal for New Americans Act, the GRACE Act, which would increase refugee admissions. So the solutions are there, but we need to mobilize it, and we need to let the federal government know the immigrant and refugee communities won't take this lying down.
And, you know, these various bills that you've just listed are so critical, and yet our U.S. Senate, which is under Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, become a legislative graveyard, is where these bills will and, you know, can and will get stuck. And then, of course, even if they were to pass, unless there's a veto-proof majority by which they pass, the Trump government, President Trump, would simply veto them, which really signals the need for, you know, if we're thinking about refugee rights and immigrant rights, a change in leadership in both the Senate and the White House in order to really make any progress anywhere. So back to this issue of the travel ban, the government has said that, well, there are waivers available for those who can demonstrate hardship if they're not allowed into the United States. But in the earlier version of the travel ban, before the extension was announced, I understand a very small percentage of those who applied for waivers ever got them, right?
Absolutely. And that affirms what we know, that this is a Muslim ban before it was ever announced. The Trump, as a presidential candidate, pledged to keep Muslims out, and people associated with him discussed that frequently, and then it was implemented through the Muslim ban, and now it's extended. The waivers are very very much so part of the later versions, which were implemented as part of a way of getting around the injunctions and the legal barriers that the Trump administration had in implementing the original Muslim ban, but effectively does not work as a way of allowing someone from Nigeria or any other country that's of the growing list of countries that are now being banned.
Right. I want to talk
from
about
being able to fly.
I want to talk about refugees. Your organization has suggested that this really is a backdoor way of further restricting refugee admissions into the United States. Eritrea is one where that's a really big issue. It's the ninth largest source of refugees in the world, according to the UN. Fewer than 900 Eritreans received immigrant visas to the United States. Myanmar, which is another of the nations announced in the extended travel ban, is actually not a Muslim-majority country. It's a Buddhist-majority country. However, the primary group of people who would be interested in leaving Myanmar as refugees are the Muslim minority of Rohingya Muslims. And there was just a case before the International Court of Justice around Myanmar's genocidal conduct toward Myanmar's Rohingya refugees. So even Myanmar's ban, it seems, is squarely aimed at the Muslim minority in that country that has faced more persecution than perhaps any group in the world right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we're seeing here is a combination of Islamophobia with a desire to target all immigrants and refugees who aren't considered the whitest and the wealthiest, and it's translated into really despicable pieces of federal policy that do not reflect what the best of this country has to offer the immigrant and refugee communities that are here, that want to welcome others, including family members of theirs, and even folks who have no blood connection to that, but in their community see every single day their neighbors, their friends, their coworkers, folks who weren't born here but came here in search of a better life and with dreams for themselves and for their children. Folks not just in New York City and in places that have always been associated with immigrant communities, but folks in the Midwest, throughout the country, where immigrants and refugees have been seen as who are a form of economic revitalization and keeping the communities vibrant and alive. So this is a really unfortunate abdication of our responsibility as a country that should be leading on refugee issues and addressing the global need. But then also just following our laws, the prohibition against religious discrimination, the fact that we have immigration laws that should not be implemented based on discriminatory
Right.
biases.
And of course, this administration claims to pride itself on religious freedom, but only for Christians. It has over and over again held summits on religious freedom and claimed that the religious freedoms of Christians are being impacted. They don't seem to care about the religious freedoms of most other religions. It was interesting when I asked you about whether you're surprised by the list of countries. There were reports about which countries would likely be on this extended travel ban. One of the countries that was on that anticipated list that didn't make it to the final list is Belarus, the only European country on that list, which is just, yet m once more indicative of the bias that this administration expresses. When the Muslim ban, the so-called Muslim ban, was first announced, just as the Trump administration started its tenure in early 2017, there were massive protests at airports around the country. People were outraged. And I'm wondering if you think protest fatigue has set in. Where are the protests now?
Well, I think I'm not sure if if it's hit yet. I work with a network of 37 immigrant and refugee rights organizations. And if they're not in the streets protesting, then they're lobbying their a local representative. They are doing a Know Your Rights presentation. They are meeting with advocates. So there is a lot of folks who are active and who are fighting back against all of the different anti-immigrant and refugee policies that this Trump administration is proposing and implementing in a lot of circumstances. So I think it's very much so true that immigrant communities feel under attack, and it could be overwhelming. And when at that point, a lot of times, lack of information or fear or intimidation start to strike in and impact people's thinking, which is why our MPNA's network of legal services providers is ever so critical, because they have not only attorneys and accredited reps, but they have community navigators and mostly women navigators who are particularly good at connecting with people in the community. They are of the community, and letting them know of resources and information and Know Your Rights presentations and where to go for different resources.
So that might be a place for people who are in our audience right now wondering what's going to happen to their immigrant visa petitions for their parents or loved ones.
Absolutely, yes. Please visit partnershipfornewamericans.org. We have organizations in over 30 states, and the majority of them provide legal services. So if you have a pending application for a visa impacted by this extended Muslim ban, or whether it be for DACA and you're not sure what to do before the Supreme Court decides on it this spring or summer, or if you are considering applying for citizenship or affirmative asylum, please get in contact with us.
Finally, Diego, do you think that if there is a change in the White House in the fall, that everything that Trump has implemented could simply be reversed? He's essentially pushed these through via executive order. I can imagine a president who is not Trump from either party simply reversing these executive orders with a stroke of a pen.
That is possible. There's a lot of them. That's the thing. I think some of the larger I think a lot of it, almost all of it, could be reversed, but there's been a lot of structural changes, not in a good way, to the immigration system as we know it. So I think it could be reversed, but it would take a lot of different grassroots pressure. It would take a lot of different meetings and pressure on the new administration to make sure that every single small bureaucratic change, all the way up to the highest headline stories like the Muslim ban and like DACA, are reversed because we really do need it.
Give out that website again, Diego, for where people can find out about the resources offered by National Partnership for New Americans.
Absolutely, it's partnershipfornewamericans.org. And then on their website, you can see all the different organizations in different states that we have.
And we'll post a link to that from our website as well. I want to thank you so much
Thanks.
for joining us today, Diego.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
My guest has been Diego Iniguez Lopez, Policy and Campaigns Manager with National Partnership for New Americans. We've been discussing the latest iteration of Trump's travel ban. The ban has just added six new countries to the list of those restricted from emigrating to the United States. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes, and now Spotify.